It's a pleasure to have the opportunity in this hall to contribute to the discussion on the World Watch Institute report, State of the World 2005, Redefining the Global Security. And in fact, it's, as I recall, it's the 21st book in the series. So we have a long series of books every year looking at the state of affairs in the world and considering what are the problems, what are the perspectives. And I have to say that this last report, 2005, is not as doomsday thinking as many of the earlier report. I think it's in that respect it's more realistic and it's also much more promising. And I'm delighted that I have the opportunity to give some comments. It's a nice book in the series. It gives a lot of facts and a lot of figures. And although I know that you can lie with statistics, in this case, I think nearly all facts and figures are justified, are correct, at least at the chapters which I have considered more extensively. It's a comprehensive report. It's taking into account not only the traditional things which were in the earlier reports related directly to the physical environment. More and more we've seen also the socio-economic, cultural environment, and last but not least, considering security, not in terms only of the physical environment, but all the other aspects. And the earlier commenters indicated very clearly what should be done and could be done in order to make the world more secure and more safe. So, as I say, there are many facts and are many figures, and there are some general patterns which are investigated, and there are some specific examples. I've been looking carefully at chapters 4 and 5. 4 is on food and food security, 5 is on water. And of course they are closely related. And have to admit that the figures and also the analysis which are presented in chapter 4 and 5 are stimulating, but I also have some comments on what is not in it and what could be in it. First of all, I see that the food security is described, and especially some aspects are discussed. For example, the AIDS problem in Africa is causing that a major problem for labor availability, and as a result of that, decreasing agriculture productivity. That's only one element, but it is certainly not the most determining element in many places. And what I see here is that the labor productivity, which has stagnated in Africa, is not analyzed in detail. As it was analyzed in detail, you could also see that it is amplified by AIDS, because of many people are no longer there which are who are necessary for weeding, and as a result of that there is no agriculture productivity, but that should be analyzed in more detail. What is not there in chapter 4 is the mega trends which we see in agriculture and in food security all over the world. If you consider the last 100 years, then we have seen that although the number of people in the world has increased from some 1.5 billion around 1900 up to six billion in 2000, in general terms, the amount of food per capita has increased considerably during the last 30 years with 20%. And that's, of course, a very stimulating figure. That does not mean that there are no longer hungry people. There are still 1 billion people which are hungry. But in many places, for example in Asia, it's more an allocation problem than a production problem. In general terms, the productivity has increased considerably. And that's due to the agriculture productivity per hectare. Not so by expansion of agriculture, but by productivity. Also, that's important in the last 100 years. Agriculture productivity per hectare was about 9-fold, per man-hour 300-fold. And that's an enormous effect, which is not discussed in the book. And also counterintuitively, the productivity per input has increased. And as a result of that, you see that at high production levels, counterintuitively, the environmental side effects are lower than at low production levels. Counterintuitively, because every one of us has seen the law of diminishing return, and the law of diminishing return is only there when there is only one factor which you are affecting. But agriculture normally is a combination of factors. That's not there in the book. And as a result of that, you are promoting, and that's what I see sometimes, low productive agriculture rather than high productive agriculture, which is necessary in order to feed the world. Because we have been successful during the last age, with the exception of Africa. And Africa is not explicitly mentioned in the book, which I think is very important. Because where the situation all over the world has increased and has been improved considerably in terms of food availability, that's not the situation in Africa. There it went down with some 10% per capita over the last 20 years. There's not one reason for it. There are a lot of reasons. Weathered, deteriorated soils, only not three crops which determine food security in all places around the world, rice, wheat, maize. 80% of food, wherever you are in the world, is dictated by these three crops. Africa is different. There is only 20%. And the investment in agriculture stays far below what is done in other places around the world. You see that in Africa, people are suffering from an unsustainability spiral due to poverty. In the book, you see many discussions on unsustainability due to rigidism, but unsustainability due to poverty is probably even more dramatic and worldwide, much more seen than the situation of unsustainability due to poverty. We do not see the mentioning of the other elements of the megatrends. Productivity rise is one megatrend. Second, counting of more objectives than just productivity, environmental issues, issue of social structures in agriculture and in many rural areas is not explicitly mentioned. It's very important. That's a mega trend which is there. Certain mega trend we are now thinking in change rather than in just one crop. We are working from spade to plate. That's not there, but it has a considerable effect also on food security and on the environmental side effects. And finally, food and health is not in the book, should be there. What I'm now wondering, what is the relation between agriculture and water? Chapter 4 and 5 should be very much combined, because the major user of water is agriculture. Fresh water in irrigated agriculture is the most used of water. And if we consider that there are wars on water, then it's mainly due to the fact that the water has been used or will be used for irrigated agriculture. 80% of food, especially in the developing world, but also in other parts of the world, is from irrigated agriculture. And so there's a fight for irrigated, for fresh water. So if I'm now looking carefully at chapter 4 and 5, then I could distill, but on top of that, much more of the other analysis, which we've seen also recently, some recommendations. First of all, I would think that it is very important to have sustained intensification, higher production per unit of area. Why? It's for environmental reasons better, but it is also possible to save much land for nature and in that way for biodiversity. It's the best way to guarantee biodiversity to have a lower number of hectares for agriculture. In the European Union, for example, we're using 150 million hectares of land. It can be done also with 70 million. In that way, you're safeguarding a lot of land. It's also as dramatic in Africa or in Asia. So sustained intensification is, my opinion, the way to go. What we also need is a double green revolution. Not only more productivity, and that's necessary because of the increasing number of people around in this world, but more specifically in Africa, but also double green revolution because we need a much more careful use of the environment and a higher efficiency of the use of the external resources and especially the nature resources and more specifically water. At this moment, in irrigated rice fields, we're using 5,000 kilograms of water per kilogram of rice. It can be done also with 1,000 kilograms of water per kilogram of rice, and the most sophisticated systems use only 500 kilograms of water per kilogram of rice. Why not do it? That requires investment and in technology and in agriculture. And so that's the third recommendation, more investment in agriculture, more investment in sophisticated, highly developed agriculture in order to have a better situation. That does not mean that I'm propagating here all the fruits of modern agriculture, such as GMOs or and unlimited use of pesticides. On the contrary, by being careful with agriculture methods, you will see that you also careful can make use of GMOs whenever necessary. That's also very important that the campaign against hunger should be not only on acute hunger, but more explicitly on chronic hunger. Chronic hunger requires structural changes. Structural changes in the way agriculture is managed on individual fields, but more importantly, on regional level. If we are not working on higher level, on higher scale level, we are not making use of the possibilities to safeguard the environment, to manage water better, and to spare a lot of water and to spare a lot of nature, which we can spare if we're considering at the right agriculture at the right place with the right methods. That requires a lot of investment also in agrotechnology. At this moment, it is no fashion, and it is out of date to invest in agriculture and agriculture technology. I'm giving here a plea that if you would like to safeguard the food situation, improve food security, the only way to go is have a higher productive agriculture, and especially in Africa. If that's not done, then we are ending in a situation where it's becoming more unsafe, more insecure, and as a result of that, we will see more people suffering, not only from hunger, but from death through hunger. And if the state of the world 2005 and redefining global security is aiming also as perspectives, then I think that's one of them, and that should be more explicitly, I think, in the chapters 4 and 5 of this report. Once more, I appreciated very much that I had the opportunity to have the discussion. I appreciated also that it is stimulating to have this discussion. I think the World Watch Institute reports have given an enormous contribution to the debate which took place in the world, and in that way, sustainable development is now well accepted term, and that is for a big deal due to all these reports which we've seen over the last 21 years. Thank you.